for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, February the 25th, 2001. Women's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Mary Ann Flynn of Orange, California is the teacher of the morning.
I feel like the Lord has been looking more forward to this service than we have. You know, and I've tried to build toward this service in what I've shared, and I see that what others have shared has been in, along the same lines. Because it's the most wonderful thing in the world, come into His presence. You want to move quickly into the Word, get right into the subject. Turn to Psalms, if you want to, 91. I mean, the Lord's planned this service, and I tell you, you can receive it in its fullest measure. We've already started receiving. You can get into it where the flow is, and I'll tell you what, I will guarantee you, you will never be the same. Then I will guarantee you, you will have a changed heart. Because whenever you actually come into His perfect presence, you will experience the Shekinah glory, and it will leave a mark on you that you will never get over. It will stay with you, it will stand in good stead with you through the nights and through the days. But we'll begin with this scripture. Each thing I'm going to get just quickly to so that we'll get the essence of it. He who dwells in the secret place, that means stake your claim, you know? Like someone who's found a gold mine, you know, and they get their stake out and they stake their claim and they ratify it and it belongs to them. I tell you, we found more than a gold mine. Stake your claim in the presence of the Lord, in the secret place. For let me tell you, His perfect place, His perfect presence is a secret place. My sister-in-law came to my home one day, and she said, I was in the kitchen, and she was looking over the bar, and she said, Mary Ann, did you know? Let me tell you something. There really is a secret place. I mean, she hit my button, and I turned around to her. I said, yes, there is a secret place, and I know how to get there. And then I just kind of turned around and was busy, and she's hanging there like, and then, of course, we had a discussion and a talk about how to get to the secret place. We're going to get into that quickly because I want you to have it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, there's a few people who dwell there. They may not get the opportunity to get behind a pulpit and have a microphone in their hand. But let me tell you, if you were to ask them, if you were to get acquainted with them enough to find out, they could shed some light. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. And that Almighty means the power of whom no foe can withstand. I tell you, there are lots of secrets to really living a fulfilled, successful, powerful life. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then, I'm reading from the Amplified, for then, and it says, deliver you, He's talking to us, but I'm going to say me. Now, what does the then mean? It means he who is living in the secret place of the Most High, if you find that and you are able to get into it as often as possible, then he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with his pinions. I'll be covered. And under his wings shall I trust, and I'll find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. And then when I'm in the secret place, I'll not be afraid of the terror of the night. If you go through a nighttime in your life, the terror of the enemy's threats and harassments will not overwhelm you. That fear just won't be able to get near you when you're in the secret place. Nor of the plots, the arrows. Nor I won't fear the arrows And that means the evil plots and slanders of the wicked. That flies by day, so there's day and night. Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. We talked a little bit about that. It doesn't mean necessarily that you drop dead. It means that a lot of things that you've planned, that you've purposed, just don't come to fruition. Some of them do just seem like they drop dead right then and there. You know, one day it seems like it's going, and the next day it's just gone. I won't have to fear those things. God's going to cause all my fruit because to completely come to ripeness because I'm living in the secret place. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only a spectator shall I be, myself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. Inaccessible. Can't get to me. Hallelujah. In the secret place, as I witness the reward of the wicked, because I've made the Lord my refuge. See, I've been living in His presence, and I've made the Most High my dwelling place. That's verse 9. Because I've made the Lord my refuge and the Most High my dwelling place. Well, how do we find that place? And I'm going to just read some scriptures to you. I always love to look up some scriptures to lay ground for the necessity of finding that secret place. And so I've given you the 91st Psalm. And then Psalms 27 verse 5 says, in the day of trouble, He will hide me in His shelter. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. You see, there is a secret place. We're going to get there. Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your most private room. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret. You want to get His attention? You really want to know that you've got His attention? You go into the secret place. And then the Father who seeth in secret shall reward you in the open. Hallelujah. See, in the open. Out of the secret place. Whenever you're just walking among men and loving the Lord and praising, He'll reward you in the open place. In Isaiah 45:3, He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Well, don't be surprised. The Bible says He dwells. One of the places where He dwells is in darkness. Now, I did not say that. The Bible does. So there's treasures there. Hallelujah. There's treasures there. Wherever you go, when you're a child of God, whenever you're keeping company with Him, it doesn't matter where it is, He's there. And there's treasure there. And there's blessing, and there's provision, and there's help, and there's hope. And I will give you hidden riches of secret places. That's in that same verse, Isaiah 45, verse 3. Okay? In the secret of Psalms 31:20, in the secret of your presence, you hide me from the plots of men. You keep me secretly in your pavilions from the strife of tongues. Think about that. Do you know what? We need to be careful about speaking negative about anybody. First of all, it affects you. Sets up a negative atmosphere. But you know what? It does affect the person you're talking about. It does. It does. They may not know what you're saying in the negative, but you know what? I believe it puts pressure. I believe the enemy takes advantage of the words that you have said, because the enemy waits for authority at the door of our mouth. So does the Lord. I mean at the door of our mouth. And if we give Him authority and we begin to speak, I tell you what, He can bring troubles. We need to watch what we say out of our mouth. Let me tell you what. How do you get the enemy under your feet? It's what you say out of your mouth. Because I've never seen Him down there. But this is symbolic. Hallelujah. Romans 16, verse 20 tells us the God of peace. The God of peace. Now, I want to tell you, it does not mean just the God of peace. Because, you know, we can say, oh, the God of peace will shortly bruise Satan under my heel. No. It literally means the God of your peace. The peace that you have when you're going through a circumstance. The God of that peace. Now you see why the enemy tries to take your peace? The God of that peace that you have during a circumstance will work through that peace and bruise Satan under your heel. And I could go into scriptures, but I'm not, because I want to stay on this, except to say this. If we were to go into the scriptures, you would find out that always the scriptures uses synonymously the tongue and the foot. How beautiful are the feet of those on the mountains that bring the gospel of peace. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean your feet are that beautiful. You know, it doesn't mean there's not a corn there or a bunion or anything. But it means how beautiful, how wonderful the message, that those who are bringing the message, how beautiful it is, how it satisfies and it rescues. Hallelujah. There's other scriptures for it, but I don't want to digress. I might give you one. There's a scripture in Psalms. You can look it up. And it talks about who shall go into your holy hill and who shall be allowed to ascend to your holy hill. And it says... in other words, it says, it says who, and then it says who won't be. And who won't be, one of the things who won't be is the backbiter. My husband looked up the word backbiter. You know what one of the meanings of it is? He who walks on my back with his tongue. We don't want to walk on anyone's back with our tongue. And that's how you get Satan under your heel. That's how you get him under your foot. You say, praise God, Satan is defeated. I'm trusting in the Lord. He has no place here. I'm giving him no place, though I'm going through a difficult time and I'm surprised and I thought things were going to go smooth, but the Lord will still bring me out. He's under your heel. He's under your heel. He's under your heel. He's under what you're saying. He's under what you're saying. You're not giving him any authority. Remember that. Great powers wait at the door of your mouth for authority to perform what you speak. And when, if you're always saying, Lord, I'm just praising you, you've been blessing me, and Lord, I know the blessings that you have in store, and Lord, I just want to walk closer to you, and I just want to know your will and know you and hear and recognize your voice, and I know that you're going to work out this situation that I can't see any way out, or this business situation. Lord, it looks like the papers, you know, in fact, wasn't Hezekiah, he took all those papers and letters of threats from the king. He spreads them out before the Lord. We got to take our bills and threatening papers we get, things like that, and spread them out and say, Lord, look here, I need help. Hallelujah. You're the one that can help me. And I thank you, Lord, for the answer. You know, the Bible calls him our high priest. And so whenever we tell him that, our high priest receives the sacrifice of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And we're declaring what he can and will do, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. These things come into our life to pass out of our life. Hallelujah. And whenever we offer up that kind of a praise to him, our priest, our great high priest, takes the sacrifice and the offering and he offers it to the Father. And he says, you're going to work this out and it's just going to melt away. And the Father says, they said that, did they? Yes, they said that. Then give it to them. Isn't that what the Lord said about the children of Israel? You've murmured and said you can't do it, so I'm going to let you have what you murmured about. Okay, it'll be that way. You can't. Out of the authority of your mouth. See, while we have to guard our mouth. Praise God, our mouth can also help take us into the secret place. All right? Okay, 1 Chronicles, we're about through with these. 1 Chronicles 16, 27. It tells us, honor and majesty are found in His presence. Strength and joy are found in His sanctuary. Of course, Psalm 16, 11, I don't know if I gave you that. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In Thy presence. The presence I'm talking about today. We've all felt His presence today, haven't we? He's here. We felt His presence. We felt His blessing. It's been wonderful. There's another scripture that I'd like to bring out. Ephesians 3:19. You don't have to write all these down. But the word just teaches itself right here. It says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence. And I'm here to tell you today that there are measures of His presence. There are measures of His presence. But that we might be filled with all the fullness of God and all of the richest measures of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. You want to be flooded with God Himself? It takes a little effort. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says to seek the Lord and His strength yearn for and seek His face, and to be in His presence continually. You know, the presence of the Lord is a place that we actively think about and that we make an effort to go into. You know, whenever Esther, Queen Esther, was marvelously lifted up to be queen of the land, though she was really a almost like a prisoner in the land, you know, sojourner in the land, taken from her homeland, her and her cousin Mordecai. And, you know, she had all of the wonders, all of the blessings of being queen of the land. You know, ladies would draw her bath water, you know, make sure her clothes were pressed and ironed, and bring her just any food she might want, any fruit, whatever it may be. All she had to do was probably clap her hands or wave it or something, and there it was. It was a wonderful thing, wonderful blessings. But there came a day. There came a day when a calamity was befalling her and her people. And all that wonderful blessing wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to save her and to save her people. You know what she had to do? She had to prepare herself. And nothing would substitute for the fact that she had to go in to the presence of the king. And in the presence of the king, the problem was solved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people were saved. She was saved. And you know what? Her enemy was done away with. And if we just can't seem to get over some humps, maybe it's because we haven't gone into the presence I'm talking about today. Our sister Ruth yesterday morning touched a little bit on it. She said, oh, it's so wonderful whenever praise finally turns into worship. That's a wonderful thing. And literally that's what happens whenever we come into His presence. All right, now that we're all thrilled about His presence and the secret place, how do we get there? Okay, Psalms 95 verse 2 says, come before His presence with. The key word here is with thanksgiving. But the key word is with. Psalms 100 verse 2 says, come before His presence with singing. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Are you getting an idea? There is an entering in to His presence. We don't just sit back and then, oh, Lord, just let Your presence come down. It doesn't work that way, the presence I'm talking about. The fullest measure of the divine presence, the richest measure of the divine presence. It's with thought, it's with effort that we come to Him. You know what? He fills us with great and glorious and noble goals. But let me tell you, they are not accidentally achieved. They're not accidentally achieved. It takes real heart searching to achieve and to come into His presence. And I want to tell you this, you're different whenever you've been in His presence. People will know it, that you've been in His presence. You know, even the disciples, as they walked with Jesus, it says, the Bible says, they took note of them that they had been in the presence of Jesus, the Scripture tells us. Maybe I can give you an example of the measures of His presence. And one measure was today, whenever we were just so blessed and we felt so good. And doesn't it feel cleansing and good when tears roll down? And you just, you know, Lord, and you're worshiping Him and you're loving Him. Well, the two on the road to Emmaus is a real good example. Because, you know, they had just witnessed the death of their Lord, Jesus. They were disciples. They were there. They witnessed it. They knew what all happened. Now they're going home because, you know, He's died. He's been buried. Now they're going back home to Emmaus, little town, northwest of Jerusalem. I've been there. And so they're walking along, and from the context, we know what they're doing. They're talking about the death of Jesus Christ, the one who did miracles, the one who they knew that He was the Son of God, and yet He died. And how can God die? And, you know, and on like this. And He's gone, and how can He be gone? He came to save us, to rescue us, to do a mighty work, and yet we saw Him, and He's laid in the tomb, and they're talking. You know what? You know who appeared behind them and started catching up to them? Resurrected God! Hallelujah! Who did everything He came to do. Who did what the centuries had foretold. Son of God. Extension of God. And He now has power all power over the enemy, and all things are given into his power in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. All power. All power. And he's given us that power. You know, the enemy is just so worried that we'll discover it and start using it. But it has to be kept safely in vessels that will keep it safe. God wants to give us so much power that whenever, kind of like Mary Woodworth, whenever her train would come through town, people in the churches and people in the area would fall down. That was the strength and the power. Whenever people would come into the church where she's ministering, they would fall on their faces. God wants us to have that kind of power because of his presence within us. For of ourselves, we can do nothing. But he's looking for those that he can trust with that kind of power, that will search him out and seek him out, and he can put the power there, and he can turn the spigot all the way on. Hallelujah. It's just like he's looking for somebody to pour $1 million into, but who can he trust? If we've not been faithful in the little things, how will he trust us, his household? How will he trust us with the big things? And so, as they're walking along, Jesus, of all things, of all the peoples, he appears behind them. In my opinion, first of all, they're talking about the Lord. They're talking about him. You know what the Bible says in Malachi, the last book? I think it's in chapter 3. It says, then they that spake often one to another, the Lord hearkened and heard it. When you're talking about the Lord with somebody and you're lifting him up and how wonderful he is, the Lord says, wait a minute, let's listen to this. I think I've shared this with you before, but that's the way I see it. And he calls over the scribe and he says, take this down. Hallelujah. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that thought on his name. Hallelujah. And here they are, they're talking. They that spoke often one to another. And so they're talking about it. Jesus appears behind him and he kind of catches up with them, and then they notice that there's this stranger, disciples. And they notice there's this stranger and he catches up. And they say, well, hello, it's good to see you. You going our way? Yeah, I'm going your way. There's a little bit of Flynn in there, but I know you're able to discern. And he says, well, what are you talking about? You were so intent in your conversation. And they said, oh, we've been talking about all the things, that happened in Jerusalem. Risen Lord, King of Kings, all power, all power. He says, what things? Isn't that right? What things? What things happened? He wants to hear about it. Lord, thank you for blessing me. How did I bless you? Well, yesterday when that all worked out. What worked out? Well, Lord, whenever I felt led to go to this person and talk to them and explain something, and there was just a mending and just, and you worked it out and it felt good, huh? Yeah, it felt so good. It just relieved me. So he wants to know what thing. I'm serious. He wants to know what thing. Spell it out to him. Tell him all about it. He loves to hear about it. For this he died. And they said, well, bless your heart. You must have just arrived in town. Are you a stranger here? And you're not aware of all the big tumult that happened in Jerusalem? Well, just let us fill you in. I mean, really, I'm sure they said something like that because the Bible says, are you yet a stranger? I'm practically quoting it. And they told him. He listened to it. And they said, we knew he was God, Son of God, and yet how can he die? And I imagine the Bible says he began with Moses and began to open up the scriptures to him, went through the prophets. I imagine he said it something like this. Well, you know what? If you'll remember what Isaiah said, and now let's get to a quote from Isaiah, and he begins to quote, he was wounded for our transgressions. Doesn't that make sense? Well, yeah, now that you say it. And you know what's happening? They're saying, ooh, wait a minute. Yeah, he was wounded for our transgressions. We saw him wounded. He was bruised for our iniquity. We saw him bruised. We saw the bruises from the crown of thorns, from the cross that he tried to carry. Hallelujah. Yeah. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. And I think they understood that by his stripes our souls were healed. We were eternally healed. Of course, healing's in it. Healing is in the atonement. A body healing. Hallelujah. But greater than the body healing is a soul healing. And had he not come, as I said the other night, had he not come and fulfilled it, let me tell you what, souls would not have been healed. There would be no triumphal marches into his presence in the glorified body Let me tell you what, we needed our souls, and by His stripes we're healed. And as here, can you imagine the voice of resurrected Lord with all power coming into their ears? You know, I mean, their hearts began to burn within them. You know how it gets whenever you just can't hardly contain the blessing that you feel. You see, there's a difference between feeling the blessing, because, honey, they didn't know it was Jesus. They didn't know it was resurrected Lord. They were not in the fullest measure of His presence, I'm here to tell you. They think He's a stranger. But He's a stranger that His words began to cause their hearts to pound, began to cause their hearts to burn within them. Hallelujah! But they didn't know it was Him. If they'd have known it was Him, if I'd have been one of them and I would have known it was Him, I'd have been hugging Him all over and kissing Him. I'd been down at His feet just loving on Him in person. They would have too, but He was just a stranger that was blessing them. Get all the blessing you can get, but don't ever stop there. And many of us do. That's just a measure of His presence. You know, that's just a measure of it. And so He explained to him, I would have been walking about 2 feet off the ground as that voice. And I could, I'm sure they must have been able to hear the tinkling in the Lord's garment of the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Just think. And finally they get to their home. And they said, "Woo, we're here already. My, it's been wonderful. We just appreciated this so much. And we're here already. Just so soon we're home. 7 miles just went by." And the Bible says, you know, that they started to go in and Jesus made as if. Listen to this. Jesus, God, Messiah, made as if He would go on. "Oh, this is where you live. Well, nice place. And it's been so nice talking to you. Have I explained things to you? Oh, yes. You feel good now? Yes. We're just so built up. Well, then I'll see you. Oh, no. Wait a minute. No, we want you to come. We expect you to come in now and stay with us. No. That's all right. I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to press beyond. You're probably tired. I'll just go on." And I believe they said, "Absolutely not. You've blessed us. You've ministered to us. You've taken time with us. We're not letting you go now. You come in here and we're going to minister to you. We're going to set you down to the table. We're going to wash your feet. We're going to give you the honor of the setting at the table. You're going to say the prayer. We're going to do all that we can for you. You can spend the night, stay as long as you want." That's what I feel like is amen. And you know, he says, "Well, if you insist." How many times do we insist? We got a little past that today. Did you notice? We just wanted love on him. I just sat there. I was so delighted. You know, many of you were really picking up on it. You know, he blessed us and we had a good time. Hallelujah. But then we just wanted to bless him, just into thy presence. Not of anything that we could do. It's just so good. It's just so good. You know, we went up higher in that measure of the presence of the Lord. You mean you don't want me to go? A lot of times, you know, we come to church and we're so blessed and we just enjoy everything. And then the Lord says, "Well, I'll go." Or a lot of times at home, whenever we're praying, and the Lord comes and we get the chills, you know, and we're praising. And we just feel so good and we just believe He's heard our prayer, that things are going to be better, you know. And we may not hear the voice, but I believe many times He says, "You feeling pretty good?" "Oh, yes, I feel better now." "Well, that's good. Well, I'll be going then." We say, "Okay, bye. We'll see you next week." We don't really, but you know, I'm talking about attitudes. "Oh, I feel good now. I'm blessed. Goodbye." You know, there's an Argentine custom. I didn't know about it when Ken and Annie, first few times that they stayed with me, you know, and I'd fix a big meal. And there are missionaries from Argentina. I've mentioned them before. And you still have some of their books over there? I'll tell you, I think I mentioned this. Okay, Visions of Annie. And so whenever I would... have the meal, you know, and we'd pass whatever it was that I had fixed, you know, and they'd take something. And then it came time for seconds, you know. And so I'd pass, "Oh, no, thank you. You know, no, thank you." And, you know, so I'd go, you know, "Okay," you know, and set it down. Finally, they told me, you know, about two or three times around, I said, "Well, won't you have some more?" And they said, "Yes, because we've learned, Marianne, we have to tell you yes the first time. You won't push it on us." But see, the Argentine custom is, if they say no, you say, oh, no, you must have. You must have some. No, you must have seconds. I'm not moving it until you have seconds, you see. Well, I don't want to force somebody to eat more than they can hold, you know. So, I mean, they're welcome to all of it, the whole plateful. But, you know, I'm not going to, because I've been in some countries where if you didn't take it, they put it on your plate, you know, and you're stuffed to here, and yet you've got this something else to eat, you know. And I think we do the Lord that way, you know. You say, well, I'm leaving now, goodbye. I've blessed you and I've done everything for you. And we say, okay, bye, as you like. Wait a minute, Lord. Let me love on you. Let me tell you how wonderful you are. I couldn't get this kind of relief without you. You make everything seem all right. You forgive me of my sin. You forgive me of my failures. You forgive me of my faults and my shortcomings. And once again, you make me right with you. And I feel right with you. Those are the things he loves to hear. You have to. So, getting back to the road to Emmaus, they persuade him to come in. They give him all the honors that you give in those countries. And they still don't know. They're still feeling good. They're still blessed, but they don't know that this is Jesus. That they have been honored like that to be in the presence. So they're really not in the fullest, richest measure of his presence. If they had enough, he'd have just went on. And they might have heard later, well, you know, he was resurrected. Some of us saw him. They couldn't have said, saw him, nothing. He was in our house and we were going to eat with him. They'd have missed that little bit of testimony had they not insisted. How much do we miss when we don't insist? I'm going to love you. I'm going to worship you. And see, it's praises. It's thanksgiving. It's singing. I like it especially. It's good whenever a congregation, because we came up pretty close. It's especially wonderful when you're at home and, you know, you can just take the time. And you can praise and you can sing. And, maybe you might get up and dance before him a little bit. Or you might speak in the Spirit a little bit. Maybe you might clap your hands. All these are the widths that I was talking about. Come with dancing. You know, Demas, good friend of ours was, and his family's still good friends of ours. And they had the holy jumpers, or holy leapers. Some of them could leap as high as the pulpit. The Armenians I'm talking about, if you don't know who Demas Shakarian is, he's founded the Full Gospel Businessmen's Organization. I mean, they, whatever it is, maybe you want to do a little jumping. Hallelujah. Before the Lord. Those are giftings that bring you into the, clapping your hands, singing. Maybe you just want to sing to Him. Maybe you sing in the Spirit a little bit. You just offer gifts. And all of a sudden, He just reaches down, picks you up into the fullest measure of His presence. And I like to share an incident that happened to me. That's why I know what I'm talking about. And maybe, I'm sure many of you have maybe had similar. And one day, I just wanted to be with the Lord, you know. And, you know, when it says enter your closet, and you know where your closet is. Although, we read where it says go into your most private room. In other words, get away alone with the Lord where the two of you can meet. And it's a wonderful thing. You know, you can be with the whole crowd and be with the Lord. But then there comes a time whenever you can just let it all hang out and just do whatever you want, say whatever you want, just have good fellowship with the Lord. And so I had a walk-in closet. And so, you know, I walked in and I shut the door. And, you know, I got down amongst the belts and the shoes and, you know, I worked my way down. And I just began to praise Him and I just began to love Him. And I didn't really know the fullness of this until that experience. And so I was just loving on Him and praising Him. And I was just, and of course, first of all, I started to cleaning up. You know how you do that. Lord, I'm, you know, you ask the Lord to forgive you for every thought, for every, whatever you may feel about. You know, you just kind of clean up real good. And then praising and having a good time worshiping the Lord. And I just worshiped Him and I just was. And you know, I began to know, I was praising Him. And I noticed that it was beginning to go into worship. And whatever it did, finally, there wasn't anything. I just, all of a sudden, I had the feeling in my mind's eye. I didn't have a vision or anything, but in my mind's eye. And the way I felt like that I was right there at the throne of the Lord. And I felt that He gave it to me to feel that way. And so I was enjoying this. And finally, there wasn't anything else to say. You know, worship can come to the point where it's so deep that there you are. And everybody has their own private experience. This is mine. And I just kind of wanted, I didn't do it physically, but in my heart's mind, I leaned over against his knee. You can do that, see, in the richest measure of his divine presence. You know, you can take a few liberties. And I was there, and I was just loving it, and it felt so good. And I didn't want to talk, and I didn't want to break this feeling. And I noticed a chorus wafted through my mind, and I just let it waft through. I didn't try to control it or anything. I just let it kind of waft through my mind. And finally, I was so full that I was about to burst, just being there in his presence, like I had never been before. And then I thought, oh, I've got to tell the Lord something. I'm going to tell him something. And see, he'll understand what I mean. It's almost a little funny that I want to tell him. And I want to stop right here to say this, that I praise the Lord that he does lead us. He leads us all in one way or another, doesn't he? And sometimes you just feel impressed to do things. Sometimes you just sense it's something that he wants to do you to do. But a few times, and you've probably had this experience too, but a few times the Lord speaks directly to you, out loud, to your spirit. I mean, you hear the words inside, and they you can never forget them. They're blazoned into your being, and they're always there. And he's done that a few times, and I praise the Lord for that. And sometimes so unexpectedly. You know, he doesn't always come, and he doesn't always speak whenever you're in the mood. In fact, usually not. Whenever you're all, you know, and you're just praising him, and you know, and you think, oh, now the Lord will speak to me, or the Lord will, you know, usually not. And then when you least expect it, boom, he'll speak, or he'll lead you. And it's like, you know, maybe you were on the merry-go-round with your child, or something. You know what I'm saying? You just, he will come in and speak to you. He's in the mood. And you know what? His timing is what he functions in. His mood is what he functions in, not ours. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just about to breath, and I'm just enjoying it so much. I'd never had this feeling before. There I am with him. And then I said to the Lord, I said, I know what you did. I didn't say it. My mind said it. There's no need for talk. You hear that. I used to not know that, but there was no need for me to talk because there was complete communication. And so I said, I know what you did. I figured it out, what you did to me. When you made me, you fixed a little place in my heart that nothing fills but you. I have to come to you like this to feel like this. There was no other way than to come to you like this and then feel this full and this complete and this satisfied and this joined with you. I wasn't expecting the Lord to have anything to say, and he spoke immediately back to me. He said, Ann, there is a place in my heart that nothing fills but you. You can imagine I was a puddle down there in the floor. He spoke it to me, and I believe it with all my heart. That there is a place for each one of us in the heart of God that nothing fills, nothing can fill. And I think, dear God, help us that we come and fill that place where we've put all aside. And it's just you. It's just you. That's the communion that the Lord wants with us. He's done it in so many ways. Many times he'll say, as oft as you do it, as oft as you partake of it. You do it in remembrance of me. Remember me. See what I'm saying? We just go about our daily lives, and you know, we're just so busy that there's hardly time for him who is craving the fellowship. I think we ought to just love on him right now for a moment. Just love on him. Enter into your closet right now and just love on him. Just love on him. Talk to him. Tell him how you feel about him. Love him for love's sake alone. He'll apologize. Apologize to him. He's here. He's listening. Lord, forgive me that I have availed myself of the most wonderful experience on earth or heaven. I apologize. Lord, you're going to hear me coming into thy presence. I come. Hallelujah. Tell him how much you love him right now. You don't even have to if you don't want to open your mouth. You don't even have to. Just give him love. Hallelujah. Father, we need your presence more than anything, more than anything, more than life. You know what I envision? I envision a lot of things. I envision that whenever we know that everybody's out of the house, not that they have to be, but it's kind of the way I like it, we're going to go into the bedroom or into a special room or into the closet or wherever you feel comfortable. You know, wouldn't it be something we go into thy presence, I come? Not of the works I've done, but by your grace and your grace. I'm coming, Lord, I'm coming. You've got his attention, I tell you, you've got his attention. He'll work out the things that you don't even know that haven't even come yet. He'll start working them out. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright, from those who keep in soul contact. You don't accidentally have a soul contact with the Lord. You do it with purpose and with forethought, with desire. So you see, there's a difference between being blessed. He blesses us. And I believe that after we've been in this, of course, the blessing that you feel, the Shekinah glory, and when you enter that, and see, it's for everybody. It's for all of us. No one person picked out. It's for all of us. After you've been in there, and it just does something to your soul. It does something to you. You know, you just don't want to act the same. You don't want to think the same thoughts. You just want to walk with him. Can't wait till you get back the next time. You just love on him. Sometimes you might go in. I want to tell you this. You might go in to pray, and you might just begin to praise and give him thanksgiving, and maybe he just swoops you right up into that presence I'm talking about. And you go into praise, and you worship. Because see, now you know how to come into his presence. You praise. And then you are thankful, and then you go right into his presence. You might praise and be thankful. And you keep praising. You keep being thankful. And pretty soon you begin to clap. And then pretty soon you begin to sing spiritual songs. And songs in the Spirit. All of a sudden, that's it. He won't be put in a box. You know, you can't figure out how to do it, and then that's it. You'll get out your offerings, and at his pleasure. Do you really want me that bad? I didn't come right away this time. Do you really want me that bad? Yes, and I'm not leaving until you come. Hallelujah! Let me tell you, a God who will say what thing? I can believe he'd say that. He wants us. That's why so many things in the Word of God says that you're unwilling to do without his presence. Unwilling. You require him as a vital necessity. I need him. And I am here to tell you, we need him more than food. We need him more than water. And we need him more than air. Think about it. If you had to pick between him and air, no contest. We need him worse. More. More. Hallelujah. And he's more than willing. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today. Be grateful and enjoy all the blessings and just have a good time in the blessings, because that's one of the things that he died to do, is to just let us feel his presence and the measure of his presence and his blessings. But always remember that there is a difference. And I want to give you just a quick little thought on the difference. I was listening one day to the Word as I was working around. I had the tape recorder turned up high, and I'm listening to the Word in the New Testament. And then, you know, one story after another. And finally, the story of the 10 lepers came on. And in my mind, I'd heard the story a whole lot of times. I was real familiar with it. And so I thought to myself, oh, yes, I know the story of the 10 lepers. I've heard it before so many times, you know. And I thought, it'll hurry and get over to something that maybe I'm not quite as familiar with, you know, and then that kind of tingles your thought processes. I heard that story like I'd never heard it before. It was kind of like the Lord said, oh, yeah? See, he enjoys us. We're supposed to enjoy him. And I mean, that story, as I'm listening to it, I'm hearing about these 10 lepers. And I'm hearing, it's like I've heard the story for the very first time. I'm hearing how they're over there and they're crying out to the Lord. You know, help us, Lord, help us, Lord. We're lepers. We need your help. And the Lord is over there. And what does he do? He blesses them. He says, go show yourself to the priest. What a blessing. The Bible says that as they went in their leprosy and their sores and everything, it says they noticed right away if they dried up. They could tell they were cleansed. Hallelujah. They were blessed. Praise God. That's how much He loves us. He wants to bless us. He wants to heal us inside and out, everywhere. He wants us to ask. He says, you don't have. You know why you didn't ask? Ask that your joy may be full. That's a whole other teaching. And so there, you can imagine, oh, look, we're healed. Look, my sore stopped. Look, my sore has stopped. We're cleansed, we're healed. And let's hurry and get to the priest so he can offer for us the sacrifices and that he can perform the cleansing ceremony, you know, the oil and the blood on the right ear and on the great thumb and the great toe and on the right side. And then finally, as sacrifices are made, the oil then on the right ear, the thumb and the toe. See, that was tradition. They knew that real well. They knew, oh, that's right. Look, we are cleansed. He said, go show ourselves to the priest. Let's go do it. One of them stood up and said, you know, wait a minute. There needs to be some thanksgiving. I love this man who just cleansed me. You know, he broke from tradition. Better be careful that tradition doesn't control and limit your life. That is another good message some other time. And he broke and he runs back to Jesus. All the rest go on their way. Well, praise God, they're cleansed. They've been healed. How blessed they all are. But this one runs back and he falls at Jesus' feet, giving him thanksgiving, praise, and love. Now, what does Jesus say? Oh, well, thanks a lot. That was nice of you, but, you know, run a lot. No. Jesus said, now, if I can count right, there were 10 cleansed. And he can count right. Where are the other 9? Excuse me? He just told them, if you want to follow tradition. And you'll have a nice little blessing over there. But if you want to know who the real high priest is, if you want a little revelation, if you want to depart from tradition and get a little revelation, hallelujah, there is a great high priest. I didn't see that at the time. I was telling my husband this story whenever he called that night. He was away at a meeting, and so he called, and I said, Chuck, listen to this. And I told him this, what I'm saying right now. He goes back to Jesus, and he falls down, and I says, you know what he does? He comes into the presence of the Lord because of his desire to worship and to praise. That brought him into the presence. Well, honey, there is a difference being in the presence and being out there blessed. Coming into the presence of Jesus, he says, where are the other 9? I would have loved for them to have some revelation here. Behold, he said, we're not 10 cleansed. Behold, thou art made whole. Whole, absolutely whole. That's right. That whole word, holocleria, that is total wholeness, total restoration. What had this had taken? The piece of cheek, you know, it began to form. It come back out. Hallelujah. What this disease had devastated, he was made whole. They were blessed. What do you want? The worst, the most. Get the blessing, great, but don't forget. And so I was telling Chuck that. I says, Chuck, the difference is coming into the presence of the Lord. And there's wholeness in the presence. I tell you, there's wholeness in the presence of the Lord. There's wholeness for your soul. There's wholeness for your thought processes. There's wholeness for your body, for your mind. All of the things. There's wholeness. God knows what you need. He says even before you ask, He knows. He says He knoweth our thoughts afar off. Before our thoughts ever come into our head, He knows all about that. There's wholeness, I'm here to tell you. You need some wholeness? You won't even have to mention it when you come into His presence. He didn't say, now, Lord, take care of this. Look at how much of me is eaten away. No, He didn't have to. The Lord said it. He says, 10 were cleansed. You're whole. So I'm telling Chuck this. Chuck, listen, isn't this wonderful? Look at the difference between the presence and the blessing. And I was telling him. And so Chuck, somehow or other that night at the meeting, something triggered his memory as he was teaching. And he began to relate the story. And it was then that the Lord showed him, well, this one leper stood up and looked around and he saw the great high priest. His spirit saw the great high priest. Hallelujah. And he did. He obeyed. He went to the high priest and was pronounced whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That one is going to pronounce cleanse. He can pronounce whole. Praise God. What man cannot do, He can do. He can do. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him. He can do the above. Anything that we can think. Hallelujah. Anything we can pretend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We love you. Let's just love on Him for a little bit. Maybe we'll have our the singers come back and let's just kind of take time now to seal this. I think we need to seal this. We need to seal this. Lord, I'm not going to let this escape from me. Lord, let your teaching burn down within your words. Burn down in my heart. As they're coming, I want to tell you something. You know that the Lord says the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal. They're not something you can pick up and hold in your hand. He says the weapons of your warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the weapons of your warfare? Praising. Thanksgiving. Jumping and leaping, singing spiritual songs, singing in the Spirit, speaking in the Spirit, shouting to God. Those are weapons, but they're giftings that bring us into the presence. You know how I like to envision it in my mind? I envision it that as I'm worshiping and I'm praising and I'm clapping and I'm loving on Him and I'm being thankful, you know what? As the powers of the air are trying to impede me, and stop my process, my progress, I envision that as I praise, I'm knocking this one. Hallelujah. This one goes down. Thank you, Lord, and this one. They can't impede my progress to Him. Hallelujah. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. The very same giftings that bring us into the presence of the Lord are mighty weapons against our enemy. Do you see what you're doing? This is why we need to take lots of time, not just in church. No. Mm-mm. I mean, church, how often do you come? This needs to be an everyday thing where we offer up our giftings. We come before His presence. Hallelujah. What is that one song that we were singing that we all know so well? Mm-hmm. In the presence of Jehovah, we know that a little, the tune to that a little bit better. Let's just sing that. Let's tell the Lord, Lord, if not right now, but Lord, I'm going to be singing this to you in my home. I'm going to be singing this to you in my most private room, the room. And Lord, I know you're going to be meeting with me there. How many of you know God's touched our hearts? He's touched our hearts. Oh, I got to finish my story. They bring Him in. The two on the road to Emmaus, they bring Him in. They bless Him. They minister to Him. Then they give Him the position of honor. We all know the ending, but I like to close it up this way. And finally, when they give Him that place of honor, and He takes hold of the bread. And who is the bread of life? He's the bread of life. I think it's so significant. He could have done anything, but He picks up the bread. Then they asked him to say the blessing. I believe his heart was so full, he could hardly contain it. I'm going to reveal myself to them. I'm alive. I did what I said I would do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you know the joy he had? He joys in these things. When the disciples saw him, and it says when they could not believe for joy, you know, he was so excited, he got all caught up. Yeah, it is really me. I'll show you. Give me a piece of bread. I mean, give me some fish. Look, it's me. I'm alive, and yet I can still eat, and I have all power. Hallelujah. He gets caught up. You know, even whenever the disciples came back and they said, oh, the demons are subject to us. Can you believe that? Oh, aren't you tickled? Aren't you proud? Don't you? Isn't that what did you see what happened over there? You know, he says, of course they are. But rather, you want to get excited and you want to rejoice? Rather, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he did in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm the Lamb. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Praise God. He gets caught up in it. And he breaks the bread. And the Bible says their eyes were opened. You know, they were looking straight at him. But when God opens your eyes, you see what none other sees. And their eyes were opened and they saw him. And whenever he had appeared to them, he just gave them. Then he disappeared out of their midst. But he took the time. He took the time to appear to them. God will take time with us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will take time with us. Comfort us and be with us. Hallelujah. Let's lift your hands. Say, Lord, I'm coming. Love on him.
Troubles vanish, are commended in the presence of the King.
Again, love on him. Begin to worship him and love him. Be thankful. Think of things that you can think about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just, Lord, we thank you. Think of things that you're thankful for. Just say, Lord, I didn't thank you for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way. Lord, that I had food in the house. Hallelujah. In the presence of Jehovah. Thank you, Jesus. Just love on him. If you feel like singing a little song to him, do that. Whatever you feel like doing, just bless him. Just praise him. Just tell him how much you think of him. Hallelujah. 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 This is where he changes your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Change your hearts. A little more like you. Bring us a little more in your image, Lord, for we've been in your word today. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Mighty God. Tell him how wonderful he is, how he feels the deepest longing in your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is a good time to dedicate some time at home to the Lord. Maybe some of you can seek him early. Maybe some of you, it's the middle of the day. Maybe some, it's in the evening. God knows. Say, Lord, I'm not going to let time go by time and time again. Not come before you. Not come before your presence. See, it'll affect your household. See, it'll affect your children. It'll affect those that are in your household. You cannot be and walk and be in the Shekinah glory, for see, that's where the Shekinah glory is. You cannot be in that and it not affect those around you. Jesus affected everyone he was around. You can't escape it. You know, I'll tell you what, there'll be a peace and a presence in that house that Satan cannot overcome, that he cannot interfere with. Minds will clear up. The Shekinah glory leaves an impact. It never goes away. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My little children, if it were not true, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, for in my house are many mansions. And I have a place, yea, for each one of you. Yea, I say unto thee, I've drawn you. I've called you. It has been my wooing. Yea, I say unto thee, that even as you have responded, as you've made yourself available, I say unto thee, that I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And I will open the eyes of your understanding. And you shall understand and see more clearly than you've ever seen before. Things that have been hidden from your sight, I say unto thee, you shall begin to see. There shall be a forewarning, a foretelling. Yea, I say unto thee, that I say that I shall show you things to come. For did I not promise that even as he, the Spirit of truth, would come, that he would lead you into all truth? Yea, shall your eyes shall be open to see. While the veil is still over others, I say that I have opened your eyes, and I will lead you into all truth, and I will show you things to come, and I will keep my good word unto thee. For it is the Father's good pleasure. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And yea, I say, I have indeed translated you out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of fumbling through and not seeing clearly. But I have translated you, yea, I say unto thee, this day you shall know indeed that you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah! Into the kingdom of light. You shall walk in light as you have never walked in light before. And others around about thee, yea, thy households, shall see that light. Yea, and I say, it shall shine upon them. And it shall shine into places of darkness. And there shall be setting free, and there shall be liberties. Yea, I say unto thee, for I would make thee a powerful, yea, child that knows his God and shall do exploits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you are so personable to each one of us. Thank you, Father, you don't prefer anyone above us. Thank you, Father. Lord, that you see us all alike. You love us all alike. We're all the same importance to you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for that, Lord. You know, some of you have said, you know, I make mistakes and I'm just less than the least. And I'm just so awful. And you know, others are just, I wish I could be like that and be close to the Lord like that one and be powerful like that one. Let me tell you what, don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to the enemy. I think it's a time that we have ears closed to to the enemy that we recognize his voice. Don't kid yourself. The enemy speaks to you. But you know what? I believe today our ears have been exercised to hear and to fend off the voice of the enemy. You'll not pay any attention to it. You'll know who you are. You'll know who you are and what position you have in him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad Benny Hinn isn't greater than us? Or Oral Roberts, or, you know, all these ones that we just appreciate their ministry so much, and they're not any greater than us. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. We have the same position, the same degree of importance as some that we think, oh, Lord, praise the Lord. You know, they just have an in with the Lord. Let me tell you what. We all have that same in with him. Aren't you glad for that? He loves us all. Yeah, but you don't know me. Yeah, he does, though, and he loves you. And he loved you before you ever found him. He loved you. He loved you so much he died for you. Before you ever asked him to forgive you, he loved you that much. He loved us individually. The Bible says whenever he was at the cross or going to the cross, it says, and he was praying, those great prayers, says that he saw. We all know this. He saw the travail of his soul. I remind you, what is the travail of his soul? Who is the travail of his soul? You. You know, he looked past the pain of being betrayed, the physical pain, the pain of taking on sin. He looked past all of that. What was it compared to the prize? The travail of his soul was us. It says he looked and saw the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. It's enough. Okay. It's enough. I can do it. Hallelujah. It was us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that one more time and I'm going to turn it over to our brother there. I want this to be so branded on our hearts and our souls that we'll never forget it.
In the presence,
that's where I want to be.
Jehovah,
he's God Almighty.
God Almighty.
Troubles vanish.
Troubles vanish.
That's the way to get them to vanish.
Hearts are
it's in the presence.
In the presence.
It's been more than we can think of you, because Jesus has come to be with us today. He is with us. His presence. We are in the presence of the living God this morning. We couldn't ask for anything more than that. The glory of his majesty is present. This day. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. And I'm going to ask Tom and Ron to come. And Speed, I want you to come up here. And we're going to receive the morning tithes and offerings. And I'm going to ask Colonel Speed Wilson to bless our offering and to pray a Father's blessing on all these women to take home with them. What a wonderful presence of the Lord to take back home with you when you go. Well, until we meet again, we say blessings. The Lord bless you and watch over you and keep you. May you be a blessing wherever you go.
You know, we want to minister to Glenn and Irma. You know, they do their best to minister to us in every way that they think will make us comfortable. And they work with the Lord right along. I don't know if they ever rest, really, because they're just always wanting to make things the way they should be. And I appreciate them. We've seen where they began and how far they have come. And it's been by the sweat of their brow as well as seeking the Lord. And it's been quite a responsibility. And I know they love to do it, but it's still a responsibility and it still works. And so I want you to just lift your hands toward them. And I want each individual, let's pray a blessing and strength and restoration upon them both right now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we just minister, Lord, to our sister now in the mighty name of Jesus. For the Lord, thy God, I say unto thee, always has a way out and always has a way. And I say unto thee that I have not left thee nor forsaken thee, but I have a way for thee, and you shall say that the Lord has made a way, and the Lord has strengthened me. The Lord hath lifted me out. Yea, I say unto thee that there shall be blessings overflow and overtake blessings. Yea, I say unto thee in your body. Yea. See the wholeness now. The wholeness now, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you that the body responds to your power. And we give you the glory for it, Lord. And to your presence, Lord. We thank you, Father, for you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And the presence abides. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for our brother Glenn. Oh, Father, we pray that you will bless him and give him peace, give him strength. Lord, I thank you right now that strength will come upon him and that you will give him rest. And when he lays his body down, may rest come, Father. And Lord, may he feel the strength of a young man. Father, because you have said in your word that we're not to depend on our youth or anything. But Lord, as we look to you, we shall rise up, yea, as eagles. We shall run and not be weary, and we shall walk and not faint. And Lord, I thank you that you are a God who owes no man. And now, Father, I thank you for the rewards that will come both here and there whenever we're with you. But Lord, I thank you that the rewards now will come here, Father, for you reward every man according to his work, both here and in the hereafter. And Lord, we call them down now, Father, before he knows that he has a need. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you will have met it. We call in funds from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we say, come, funds. Come, Lord, so that there may be meat in this house, Father God. And, Father, we mean every type of meat. Meat from the Word, Lord. Provisions of every way in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we give you the glory for it. We give you the glory for it. Draw men from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Men and women, Lord, that they might come and be filled. Lord, be changed. Be healed, Lord. And, Father, let this place indeed fulfill that which it was called to do. In the greatest, the most perfect, the fullest fulfillment of the ministry now. And we thank you, Lord, that they'll have strong bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Strong minds, strong bodies, Lord, that you'll bring all things to their remembrance in Jesus' mighty name. All things, all things. And we thank you, Lord, for it's not by our might and it's not by our power, but it is by your Spirit, Lord. It is by your power, by your grace and your strength that we ask these things. Lord, in unity. And everyone in unity said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.